The JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you so much to everybody tuned in, locked in, listening all over North America. I'm in Atlanta. Thank you to our producer in New York City. His name is Ryan Botcher. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you being here. Okay, I'll be hanging out with you for the next 4 hours. This is when the show gets started. Every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We got a lot to get into. We got Major League Baseball elimination games in the wild card round. And how about this? It's just been a team eliminated. Congratulations to the Detroit Tigers, winning 6-3 against the Cleveland Guardians. Who cares about blowing a lead in the regular season? This is the postseason. Detroit will move on to take on the Mariners. We'll talk about that momentarily. We got another elimination game going on right now, this moment, this second. You got San Diego. You got Chicago. And at this moment, this point in time, the Cubs lead the Padres 2-0 in the third. Of course, tonight is Thursday. That means there's football going on. We got the LA Rams taking on whatever the hell is left of the San Francisco 49ers. We got some NFL players that are still out, still hurt. And we're going to talk about it all. Major League Baseball, NFL. We have some guests that are going to join us as well. How about this? In 20 minutes from now, we're going to be joined by Ryan Dunleavy. He covers all things NFL for the New York Post. We'll get his thoughts on the week that starts today, week 5, into the weekend. We'll talk Thursday night football. We got Jay Jaffe joining us from Fangraphs. Covers all things Major League Baseball. Man, we're going to talk about A.J. Brown. Just once again, still complaining about a million different things. And then, a matter of fact, next hour, we got Brittany Giroli here from The Athletic. Yeah, John Kincaid will join us to talk about the Phillies. Yeah, Jay won't be here. My bad. Anyway, you want to be a part of the show, you can do that. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You can find me on the internet. I am everywhere at JR Sport Brief. Not a hard guy to find. Today is an elimination day in Major League Baseball. We're going to talk about it all. So make sure you stay tuned. We got you covered. You can always listen on the free Odyssey app, your local affiliate. You got Sirius XM, channel 375. You got a smart speaker. Ask the smart speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. Let's talk about the game that just ended. We know the Tigers blew a historic lead in the regular season. Had to get in on the last day via wild card. They blew a 15.5 game lead in the American League Central Division, but today they come out victorious. The Tigers beat the Guardians 6-3 to advance to the American League divisional round of the postseason. This game was close early. Detroit and Cleveland tied up in the fourth inning. Then we got to the sixth, and then we got to the seventh, and things just, well, they went off the hinges for Cleveland. You enter into the sixth. The tie was broken. We had Dingler who came through with a home run. He says, "What tie? It's time for us to do some damage." Let's listen to this home run that gave them the lead, courtesy of 97-1 The Ticket.
The 1-1. High fly ball, left center field. Deep. Kwan back, looking up. Gone! Dylan Dingler. Tigers take a 2-1 lead in the sixth.
That was in the sixth. I told you by the time they got to the seventh, things went off the hinges for the Guardians. He had singles all over the place. Perez single, Torkelson single, Green single, giving them a 6-1 lead. Listen to Dan Dickerson tell you on Tigers radio, this is Riley Green's hit.
First pitch, swing, line drive, base hit into right. Perez in to score. Torkelson will stop at second base. 6-1 Tigers. Bats are booming in the seventh against Hunter Gaddis.
You gotta love this.
You got to love that. I thought that that was going to be the final. But by the time we got to the bottom of the eighth, the Guardians were able to put some runs up on a board due to a couple of errors. But by the time we got to the ninth, they're done. Their curtains is finished. It's a wrap. Detroit moves on. Who needs the regular season? Well, like they always say, and it's a, I don't want to say it's a sad cliche, but when you think about the regular season, whatever the hell your record was when you got to the postseason, and whatever it's going to be moving forward, 0-0, you're starting at 0-0. And Tarik Skubal pretty much set the stage for the Tigers to win this series. We had this conversation with one of our guests last week. Skubal goes out and he strikes out 14 in game one. The Tigers lose yesterday, 6-1. They bounce back today, winning 6-3. Now, what the heck happens next? They take on the Mariners. What does that look like? I'm not so sure if they got enough firepower to go ahead and win. Game one between the Mariners and the Tigers is going to take place this upcoming Saturday. Meanwhile, going on right now, I told you, in the bottom of the third, trying to move on as well. We got San Diego and we have the Chicago Cubs. The Cubs still lead right now, 2-0. It is the bottom of the third. And then we have another elimination game. That's not going to start for another 2 hours. We got the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox. And we know the Yankees and the Red Sox, they've been getting after it. The Yankees saved their backsides last night, forcing a game three. Whoever wins this series will move on to take on the Toronto Blue Jays. And it looked like things worked out for the Yankees yesterday. They ultimately come out on top, 4-3. And today, tonight I should say, we got two rookies. Shiplot will be here. Connelly Early will be here. I think between them, they probably don't even have 20 starts this season. 20 career starts, period, in Major League Baseball. But both the Yankees and the Red Sox will be relying on their rookies to move them forward. Connelly Early, he spoke to the media. Brand new to this, 4 games in. This is what he had to say about starting a do-or-die game.
It's going to be really fun. You know, it's 1-1 now, so it comes down to this game, and I'm excited to get out there.
He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. He's never been there before. Let's hear from a guy who knows a thing or two about championship baseball, playoff baseball. He knows a little bit more, too. Trash cans and stuff. Never mind. Listen to Alex Cora talk about his rookie starting in game three.
He's poised throughout, very calm. Obviously, he's going to be loud here. Two rookies. Game three, wild card, Yankees, Red Sox. Imagine that. So, should be a fun night.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Let's see how fast both teams have to go to the bullpen. Hopefully, the New York Yankees bullpen stays alive and doesn't get beat to shreds. They did a decent job last night. I can't believe Williams actually went out there and screwed things up. And if you think about Early, I can expect him to exit the game early. This guy's pitched 4 games. He has yet to really go past 4 or 5 innings pitched. This might be a bullpen game for both teams. In regards to the Yankees, Schittler, there's an expectation that maybe, all things considered, he can go out there and give you, I don't know, 6 or 7 innings and just mow people down without giving up too many runs in the process. Aaron Boone, thinking about the victory yesterday. The Yankees, a lot of times when they lose, they're criticized for bad defense, bad base running, bad mistakes. Last night, he said, it worked out.
You know, a lot of big plays on both sides. You know, I thought our defense tonight was, you know, really, really good. Turned a couple big-time double plays. Did some good things on the bases.
Yeah, good things on the bases. The Yankees have a habit of doing terrible things. Don't put Giancarlo Stanton on the bases. If he ends up on the bases, just do the world a favor. Move him. Aaron Judge, so far so good in this postseason. Nobody will bash him for a poor performance. He's not striking out all over the world. Aaron Judge, he was happy to see the bullpen not blow the game.
That was great. You know, Cruiser came up in a big spot for us and was able to get us out of our jam. Devin doing his thing, you know, turning a nice double play. You know, and then he handed over to Buss, man. He's pretty – that's who he won the ninth in a one-run game.
Yeah, Devin doing his thing. That guy been ass all year long. Had to go out and get bullpen help because they could not trust him. It's sayonara to that guy. Not everybody could hack it in New York. I'm going to give the edge to the Yankees at home. I'm going to go ahead and I'm gonna give them edge. Boncher, you going Yankees or Red Sox?
Usually I would say Red Sox here just because I think they have more consistency. But at home, they have the better rookie starter pitching. I'm going to go with the Yankees to pull this one out.
Now, Early's going to be eaten alive?
I wouldn't say eaten alive. I just think he's going to maybe go at maximum 2 1/3. If he leaves one runner right on with Judge coming up for a second at bat, it's over for him.
Yeah, that's eaten alive. They ain't going to let him go out there and do it. He barely pitches 4 innings a game. Have you seen some of these guys sweating in Yankee Stadium? You seen these dudes, the brow is wet, the cap is dripping. You see the fear in their eyes. Do you see how nervous some of these young guys look?
Oh, yeah, and it's just unfortunate timing for the Red Sox because you lose Giolito to an elbow injury. And on top of that, you do questionable decisions. I know Walker Buehler wasn't the greatest for you, but you release him towards the end of the year. Maybe you look back at that and like, hey, maybe we'd like a guy who's pitched in the postseason before.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. Walker Buehler's pants are too tight sometimes. I don't know. He'd blow a gasket out there. Botcher, before I get fired again, Schlittler, right?
Yes.
There you go.
And I really pronounce the C-H.
Excuse me?
The CH?
The Schlittler?
Yes.
Schlitt.
Yes, like a slit.
Schlitt.
Yes.
Schlitt.
Yes.
Okay. All
yes.
Right. Schlittler. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Making sure. Well, he's going to go out and have a good time. It's just a matter of whether he gives up a couple of bombs or not. He's a strikeout guy. He may give you 6 or 7. Strikeout 6 or 7 and maybe gives up a bomb or two along the way. Hey, good luck to the New York Yankees if they lose tonight. And this is similar to last night. The fans are going to be ticked. You know, I think there's nothing. Fans, I can't even say be okay. Yankee fans would be okay, all right, if they went deep into the American League Championship Series. But then they find a way to blame Aaron Boone. What are you going to do? Well, they blame Judge. Picking Aaron, they're going to go out there and blame him. Meanwhile, right now, this moment, this second, San Diego and the Cubs is still going at it. Chicago. Damn it, what is stupid TV screens? Botcher, how come TVs don't work when we need them? The Cubs still lead 2-0 in the fourth. We saw Manny Machado help San Diego even out this game, trying to turn things around. Speaking of the atmosphere at Yankee Stadium today, Manny Machado had this to say about the atmosphere playing the Cubs in Wrigley.
Beautiful thing to be playing here and in front of these crowds, and you know what's on, you know what's at stake. So you know our boys went out there and you know competed as well as we can, and you know leave it on the field.
Yeah, we'll see how this elimination game ends. We'll see how the Yankees and the Red Sox end. And last night I got what I wanted. I got an end for the Reds. I said, get them the hell out of here. Let's not waste any more time. It's soon to be eliminated. What are you holding on for? The Dodgers beat the Reds 8-4, which means the Dodgers are now going to move on to face the Phillies. I wish this wasn't a divisional round matchup. To me, it comes across as more of a championship series in the NLCS instead of the NLDS. But here we are. Dave Roberts, knowing that they're going to face a tough team, that's what he had to say about them.
Very talented ball club. It's going to be a fun environment. I think we match up really well with those guys. You know, they're going to run a bunch of left-handers at us. You know, talented all throughout the lineup. They got Trey back. So it's going to be a fun series.
Oh, it's going to be a fun series. So that one will start on Saturday as well. Mookie Betts, he says, we're ready.
We have went through a lot. You know, we had a lot of struggles really all year. But I think we all view that as just a test to see how we would, you know, respond. And so now we're starting to use those tests that we went through earlier to respond now and be ready now, and anything that kind of comes our way, it can't be worse than what we've already went through. So just keep a positive mindset and just keep going.
Yeah, we'll give you more of a preview of the Phillies and the Dodgers. We'll do that tomorrow. Let's get through these elimination games. Let's find out who the heck is moving on to the divisional round. Let's see what the heck is going to happen Thursday night football. Yeah, we got football tonight, too. You got the Rams and the 49ers. The 49ers that are healthy. That'll be like Christian McCaffrey and a whole bunch of other guys, okay? Matter of fact, when we come back from break, let's talk some NFL. Let's have a conversation with Ryan Dunleavy from the New York Post. There's a lot going on in the league. We got the 49ers and Rams tonight. We got the Vikings and Browns Sunday in the UK. What the heck is going to happen with Dylan Gabriel? Lamar Jackson doesn't look like he's going to play against the Texans. There's a lot to discuss. We'll have that conversation with Ryan Dunleavy on the other side. We're just getting started. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show all over North America on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, today's a big day in Major League Baseball. We got teams getting eliminated. We've already had a team eliminated by to the Cleveland Guardians. But hello to week five of the NFL season. Yeah, it's already here. It kicks off tonight. We have the Los Angeles Rams. We have the San Francisco 49ers, or whatever the heck is left of them. And we have a decent slate of games heading into the weekend as well. We're dealing with quite a few injuries and whatnot. Joining us right now to take a look at tonight's game and think about what we can expect for the weekend is Ryan Dunleavy. He covers all things NFL for the New York Post. Ryan, thank you for taking the time to join us.
What's up? How you doing?
I'm very well. Let's get to brass tacks in a few hours, a little less than two at this point. We're going to have the 49ers go out there and try to compete with the Los Angeles Rams. Do you think these 49ers stand a chance given all the injuries to Mac Jones and Pearsall and what have you?
Yeah, I mean, this is a rivalry. This is, I feel like McVay and Shanahan, usually whichever team is the underdog in that game, I feel like that team usually wins. They're like, that's like little brother, big brother stuff. So like, look, I don't know if the 49ers are a playoff team. I don't think they were as good as their 3-0 start. I feel like they're always one of the most injured teams in the NFL and it bites them. But do I give them a chance in this game? Yeah, I certainly do against the Rams. They know these two teams know each other's playbooks front and back.
Well, when you think about what the Rams have been able to do so far this season, you take a look at Puka Nacua, who's out here trying to break records tonight with 50 or more passes in the first five games of a season, just named NFC Player of the Week. How impressed are you with the Rams and what they've been able to do this season? How far do you think they're capable of going?
I'm very impressed. I mean, I think they're one of probably the three best teams in the NFC. It's probably them, the Lions, and the Eagles. Probably should have beat the Eagles, except for all those block kicks. What they're doing with Nacua, this is somebody I talked to before the season told me that the most important signing that no one was talking about all offseason was Davante Adams to the Rams. And I said, really, that's interesting. Why? It seemed like he was good with the Jets, but it wasn't like he was, you know, him. It was his great self with the Jets. And I said, it doesn't have anything to do with him. He's still a good player, but he's going to draw so much attention on the outside that Puka Nacua is going to be in single coverage and he's going to run by dudes. And if you put him and Stafford and McVay in a situation where they're going to know what the defense is in before the snap, and that's what Adams does, they have to tip it off their coverage, then those guys are going to have a monster year. And that's exactly what's happened. I don't want to sell Adams' role in Puka's great season short in any way.
Yeah, we know Davante Adams is still one of the best route runners in the game, and Puka Nacua, forget running around you, he will run right on through you. Ryan Dunleavy is joining us from the New York Post. When you think about teams, we just talked about a team with a Super Bowl caliber quarterback in Matthew Stafford. By the time we get to more games on Sunday, especially the first game of the day out in the UK, we got the Vikings with a backup. Hopefully he's not out there turning the ball over. in the Browns, okay? The Browns are starting Dylan Gabriel for the first time. Wentz versus Gabriel, not what everybody expected. What are your thoughts on what the Browns are doing out here? And how long are they going to just stick with Dylan? Do you expect to see Shador at any point?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we know how this script goes, right? Like, look, what Shador did yesterday, miming answers, that feeds right into the whole story around the NFL about him, that he hasn't been mature, and that's why he flipped to the fifth round. And a lot of that, I think, had been behind the scenes, and you weren't really sure from the public view, like, is this exaggerated? Is this a case of, you know, people are holding his father against him? And then you saw a little bit of it yesterday, and that was not what a quarterback should do in any situation. Yeah, I think that spoke to some of the immaturity, but we know how this script plays out. We've seen bad teams, and the Browns, make no mistake, are a bad team. They're going nowhere. And we know how this plays out. They're going to go through three or four quarterbacks. They're going to play everybody. They're going to, you know, empty the bench and get young players developmental reps. So, sure, I mean, if you're going to tell me Dylan Gabriel's the next Jaden Daniels, then, yeah, you're not going to see Shador Sanders. But probably what's going to happen is Dylan Gabriel's going to go 1-5 in his six starts, and then they're going to say, all right, let's see Shador Sanders. So let's see what he's got. Let's see if he's capable of doing anything before we have two first-round picks next year and we have to decide if we need to draft Garrett Nussmeier or somebody. So, yeah, I do expect that Shador Sanders will start at some point, because I think the Browns will probably be 2-9 and looking for a new answer then, just like they are now.
Well, Ryan, we know that over the past several weeks, one team that we know had interest in Shador Sanders happens to be the Baltimore Ravens. Right now, we know that Lamar Jackson suffered a hamstring injury on Sunday, didn't practice yesterday, did not practice today. This is a team that has now fallen to 1-3. They got injuries all over the place. Would you write the Ravens off from the postseason? Do you find it unlikely for them?
No, I won't write them off from the preseason. Here's what I will say.
Oh, postseason, excuse me.
Huh?
I said preseason, postseason, of course.
I won't write them off from the postseason. Not with that coach, not with that quarterback, if he's only really going to miss 2 or 3 weeks. But here's what I will say. On Monday, when I didn't know that Lamar Jackson was going to miss, you know, a couple of games, I thought, I'm like a 4 out of 10 on the panic meter for the Ravens. Like, yeah, they're injured, but they have the great quarterback, they have the great coach, and their three losses are the Bills, the Chiefs, and who's the third one? Remind me. It's the Lions. The Bills, the Chiefs, and the Lions. Three teams that could be in conference championship weekend. So, no, they don't have a bad loss. I'm not going to panic. And then the Lamar Jackson thing came out, and then you see they're missing like 7 starters on defense. I'd say I'm up to like a 6 or a 7. I'm not at a 10. I'm not at a 9. I'm not ready to write them off out of the playoffs. 1 in 3 teams have made the playoffs before. But we're getting to that point. Like, if they lose to the Texans this weekend and they're 1 and 4, I might be at a 9 or a 10 on the panic meter, because the AFC is so good, those 7 spots are going to fill up quickly.
Well, Ryan, you talk about a team like the Ravens that have big expectations. I mean, we got the Philadelphia Eagles. They won a championship, and even in Philadelphia, 4-0, there's a lot to nitpick about, okay? People are complaining about their touches, the ball coming in. You got fans not happy with the usage of their quarterback. What are your thoughts on what's going on with the Eagles? You got to find something to complain about, I guess, right?
2 different things, right? The people who are nitpicking the Eagles, this reminds me of nitpicking the Chiefs. This reminds me of nitpicking Tom Brady's Patriots. Like, yeah, you just look for, like, when a team does nothing but win, and I don't know what it is exactly, but I think they've won like 14 of their last 15 or 15 of their last 16. Like, when a team does nothing but win, you look for their flaws. And they're 4-0, and they've already beaten good teams, right? So they already it's not like they have 4 unimpressive wins. They have, you know, they've been good teams. So I think there's a little bit of nitpicking going on. Like, Jalen Hurts did not complete a pass in the second half. Well, who cares? Like, they won the game. They beat the Bucs, a good team. And Jalen Hurts isn't looking to complete. He's not a 35 completion guy. He's not Jared Goff. That's not what he does. Did he run? Did they score touchdowns? Like, that's a big part of his game. So I'm not overly obsessed with Jalen Hurts not completing a second half pass last week. When you have A.J. Brown kind of tweeting and hinting about being unhappy with his usage, I am worried about that because that's a star player. That's disruptive. That's in-house. That's not nitpicky. That's fester. If that's something that could fester. And we saw this a little bit last year. A.J. Brown wasn't thrilled at times last year. And I've heard, you know, Saquon Barkley stepped in there and just kind of made it like, hey, guys, this team could be something special. And I've been on bad teams, and we're not going to squander a chance for a good team. And everything got righted. So we'll see if he can do that again or somebody else can do that again or if the taste of winning has kind of taken the sense of urgency off the Eagles.
Ryan Dunleavy is here with us from the New York Post. You talk about Saquon Barkley being on bad teams. Yeah, he was on some bad teams with the New York Giants. And speaking of the Giants, right now, maybe, possibly, I know a lot of fans are excited. They're picking up those jerseys like hotcakes. People are excited about Jackson Dart. It's been one game. But given what you've seen, what you've heard throughout the course of the preseason, seeing him play once and the coach's confidence in him, hanging his future on him, what do you think of Jackson Dart?
What I think of Jackson Dart is he has moxie and athleticism. And those are two things that rub off on a team. So especially a team that's used to losing. So I think he can be a spark plug. I don't think he's ready at this point in his career to like carry teams to victory. So they're going to have to play with the lead. They're going to have to let their high-paced defense tee off like they did on Justin Herbert last week. I'm not expecting Jackson Dart to throw for 300-yard games and make everybody better, especially with Malik Nabers out. But he does have some attitude, some chippiness that can rub off on guys and make football fun again for a locker room that hasn't had a lot of fun in the last 5 years. So, I think that can be contagious. And, I mean, obviously the head coach loves him. He's counting on him to save his job. The head coach-quarterback relationship is as important as any in football, and those two love each other. So I think that the rest of the team will notice that, and I do think there could be a spark. They have a very winnable game against the Saints this week, and then all of a sudden they can, you know, have a winning streak and a 2-0 rookie quarterback and a chance to believe they can have at least a competitive, interesting season.
Do you believe Russell Wilson is going to be on this team throughout the duration of the season? Is he going to be sticking around?
That's really, I think, up to the other 31 teams. Like, I don't think that the Giants feel like they need to keep him. And I don't think like Russell Wilson feels like he needs to stay here. I don't think he's going to force his way out because I think he's smart enough to know that like if he forces his way out and no one wants him, that's a terrible look. So, but I think if somebody, say the Bengals, made a trade offer to the Giants and the Giants went to Russell Wilson and said, hey, we'll take this if you're interested in it. I think he would be interested in it. So I think it's really up to the other 31 teams and how desperate they get. I mean, personally, I would rather have Kirk Cousins as my quarterback than Russell Wilson, but I do understand there's a significant difference in what you're paying those two guys for the rest of the season if you're a team like the Bengals.
Now, you mentioned Kirk Cousins. We know he's in for $27, $28 million to stand on the sidelines. Do you think he is stuck with the Falcons given his salary?
Probably. I mean, they've had opportunities to move him, and they haven't. And Michael Penix isn't playing great, and they're under some pressure to win this year. So if I was going to move him, if I was the Falcons, I probably would have done it already because I'm not sold that if that team's 3-5, Kirk Cousins isn't going to be starting again. So I think he probably ends up staying.
Ryan, last one for you. Talk about being sold. Right now we got the Seahawks are 3-1, the Bucks are 3-1 despite – of their own injuries and playing all these games to the wire. Sam Darnold, is he going to turn into a pumpkin, or is this the USC version?
I don't know. I think Sam Darnold, that throw he made at the end of the game last week to Jackson Smith Najigba was a big-time throw. Didn't have a great game overall. I don't think you're going to get the Vikings version of Sam Darnold because I think my personal opinion is Kevin O'Connell is as good as there is in this game. So I do think that any quarterback who ends up with the Vikings is in a great position, a la Daniel Jones' six-week stint that he's now turning it around on the Colts. But I don't think you're going to get the Jets Sam Darnold either. I think you're just going to see. I think you're going to see a Sam Darnold who in this league is probably, you know, like the 13th to 18th best quarterback or something like that. And that's probably what it, that's probably what they had with Geno Smith too. So I think probably very comparable.
Yeah, we'll see how things roll. We know things ain't rolling good for the Raiders. Hey, Ryan, thank you so much for the time. Tell everybody where they can follow you and all your work with the New York Post.
Appreciate you. Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, all the New York Post, all my work, nypost.com, and I'm on Twitter, X, whatever we call it nowadays, at RY, first two letters of Ryan Dunleavy, like the basketball family, RY Dunleavy.
How's that three-point shot?
Mine, it's not what it was 25 years ago.
Ah, not the Dunleavys then, okay? All right.
No.
No taken. Hey, Ryan, thank you. We'll catch you down the line, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, shout-outs to Ryan Dunleavy joining us from the New York Post. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast-to-coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We talked about some interesting matchups. When we come back, I want to dive a little bit deeper into the Jackson Dart. It seems like he's like a magnet. Everybody is drawn to him. And then let's talk about the Sunday night matchup. We got the Patriots and we got the Bills. We'll get there. That's moving towards Sunday. But we got a lot going on in the world of sports right now and today. To give us a news flash, here he is, my main man. It's Dexter Henry.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you to Ryan Dunleavy for joining us from the New York Post, where he covers all things NFL. Yeah, there's a couple of matchups worth looking forward to. I mean, all of them. Well, not all of them. I'm not lying to you. I ain't sitting around watching every game. Bacha, how do you consume a football on an NFL Sunday? You're not watching every game, are you? Doing red zone or something?
So if the Jets are playing, I will go split screen. I will have my phone on a red zone.
Damn.
And then the main TV with the Jets.
Okay,
just because I can't miss a play of the Jets game, but I want to see all of the big plays for fantasy purposes.
Ah, fantasy. Oh, there you have it. Okay. All right. Me, I may have a couple of screens going at the house. Or I may just set up a bar, sit at the bar, watch all the games at the same damn time. Just move my head from one place to another. I don't have to hit a button or swap anything out. Just watch all the games at the same time. So I'll be checking in. One game that we did discuss is going to take place in New Orleans, Louisiana. It goes down on Sunday. It's the New York Giants taking on the New Orleans Saints, who are 0-4. The New York Giants, God bless them, they got their first win with Jackson Dart leading the way against the Chargers. And people are falling in love with this guy. And what the heck are people going to find intriguing about a team that's 1-3 and another one that's 0-4? I always thought the Saints would be the worst team in the NFL this season. Think that they were lobbying out here to suck so they could end up with the number one overall pick. Jackson Dart has found something to motivate him. I'm scratching my head about this. He's taking a look at the fact that the Saints did not draft him. That's it. Okay, they went with Tyler Shuck and number 40 in the second round. He was already gone by then. The New York Giants traded back into the first round to get him. What are we doing here? But whatever gets you going. He's like, they didn't take me at number 9, so I'm just ticked off. Okay. This is what Jackson Dart had to say about whether or not there's a chip on his shoulder. Because the New Orleans Saints said, nah, no thanks.
I think that there's always a chip on your shoulder anytime that, you know, something like that happens. But, yeah, I'm just going to go out there and play it to my, you know, as hard as I can.
When you were sitting there at draft night and they're on the clock, did you think you might get a call? Would you have any inkling one way or the other?
Yeah, I felt like my visit with them went good. So, you know, you kind of have thoughts in your head during the draft of, you know, what options are really realistic. And I definitely felt like that was a place that, you know, could have panned out. But, you know, things didn't work out that way.
I love New Orleans. I love it. I love New Orleans. I love the Saints. I love their food. I love the Superdome. I love the street. I love the outside. I love the music. Man, I don't even give a damn about the humidity. I don't care. I do not care. I don't care. But I'll tell you this. Man, you need to be happy that you ended up with the New York Giants. Because God only knows how long it's going to take the Saints to go out there and get things together. man, you need to be happy you in New York City. And you're going to be playing in the dome. Damn it, Boccia, I may make a day trip out of it. I may get on a plane, go to Louisiana, check out the game, and come right back. I might do that.
All that to watch Spencer Rattler?
No. All that to be in Louisiana. Boccia, have you been down there?
Nope. I heard it's fun, though. Very fun.
Oh, yeah. That's why I say I may make it a day trip. Have you? Well, I was going to, if you haven't been there, you haven't been to the dome. Going in there is amazing. It's like a party inside an NFL game. They got the music going on, a brass band. Like, what NFL stadium is going to have a brass band with jazz and chants going on throughout the course of the game? Now, I will say this. The Saints suck. That place is not going to be filled up. If anything, there's going to be a lot of New Yorkers who are going to make their way down to Louisiana and have a good old time. So I don't know what type of question this was, but Jackson Dart was asked about the noise in the Superdome, and I had to go, it should be a lot of Giants fans. Listen to this.
I mean, I feel like I played, you know, in the SEC, so I played in a lot of, you know, really loud places. Obviously, you know, this one that we're walking into is, you know, notoriously, you know, one of the loudest in the league. So we got to definitely be prepared and have to communicate at the best of our ability. We try to do a really good job in practice of, you know, creating sound. And not all the time can you implement exactly what it's going to be like, but you just try to prepare that way.
Man, that place will not be loud if that, and it might be a good game. These are two bad teams. But either way, I don't expect for it to be overwhelmingly loud. You know, this ain't, this ain't some team competing for a championship. The fans going to have a good time regardless of what the Saints are going to do. Now, let's see what Jackson Dart can do in game number two. I mean, we got to see what he's going to do the entire season without Malik Nabers as his number one wide receiver. That's the part that's really, really going to suck. And maybe I'll see it in person. I doubt it, but we'll see. Ain't nothing but a 45-minute, one-hour flight from Atlanta to New Orleans, so we'll see. It's like getting on the bus. Anyway, that's at 1 p.m. That's in the early slot. 1 p.m., 10 a.m. if you're on the West Coast. But in the night game, I guess this is interesting because this is going to be one of these revenge games, huh? Right? We got New Orleans. Excuse me. It's too many N's and N's. We have New England, the Patriots. Yeah, they're not fun. Nothing fun about New England. It is not Louisiana. We got the Patriots taking on the Buffalo Bills. New England is 2-2. Buffalo Bills are 4-0. We got one team competing for a Super Bowl. We got another squad out here competing for a wild card. But if you talk about a revenge game, you got to think about Stephon Diggs. Last week, the Patriots, they beat the Panthers, smoked them 42-13. You might recall, you probably do, Stephon Diggs was with the Bills from 2020 to 2023. In his past two seasons with the Buffalo Bills, he basically complained his way out of town about not getting a football. Man, they don't need you. Look what they've been doing. Josh Allen is the team, not you. Now you got Drake May, not bad. Solid start to the season, 7 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. And Stephon Diggs, he has 19 receptions to 213 receiving yards. You don't think he would still like to be in Buffalo? Maybe, maybe not. This is what he had to say when asked if he really wanted to leave in the first place.
I mean, you know, it's the nature of the business, I guess. Obviously, it was hard for me. It was a difficult time, obviously. I spent so much time there. I built a lot of bonds, a lot of friendships. So it's obviously going to be hard and emotional. So for me, you know, I look forward to going back, seeing those guys. And, you know, it's just the nature of the business. I try not to, you know, I'm not in control of nothing. What's up, little bro? I'm not in control of nothing. I get open, I catch the ball, but as far as like the internal stuff, you know, like obviously I miss those guys over there. You spend a lot of time with people, it becomes more personal rather than just professional. So when I say it's the nature of the business, that's how it goes.
He was asked if he wanted out. He said it's the nature of the business. What? Like, we could all want to be somewhere or not want to be somewhere. If you're asking me at 1 p.m., do I want to sit in church? No. No, I don't want to be there. I don't. So I don't go. Sorry. But the point is, we got choices. Be honest about it. Oh, but it's the nature of the business not to be honest. I guess that's the nature of human beings. Sports, who cares if he's honest, right? Go catch the ball. How do you feel, though, about going back to Buffalo? You feeling okay? Your feelings hurt?
It's going to be a little bit emotional. I try to keep the main thing, but it's my first time back there. You know, it's going to be a hell of an atmosphere. I was a part of that for a long time. I played there before I got there. So I'm excited.
Oh, boy. All of the cliches. All of them. Boccia, did he leave one out? The main thing is just another game. It's all of the things, right?
Just another week ahead of us. Just another game on the schedule. You love them. 364 days, except for this one. A lot of things.
Yeah, listen. I ultimately expect this guy to end up with, I don't know, 70 yards receiving. And then after that, you know what I expect? A loss. Like that, a loss. I don't know. Maybe New England will come out here and surprise some folks. But all things considered, this will be the storyline for the game. What is Stephon Diggs doing? And then maybe at the end of the game, is he gonna shake hands with Josh Allen? Like, that's the biggest storyline for this stupid game. Let's see if the Patriots can make it a good one. Look, they're led by one of the best coaches in the game, in Mike Vrabel. And they got themselves a pretty good and growing good young quarterback in Drake May. Let's see how things go. This game may be close, should be close. I'm not expecting a blowout. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We come back on the other side of the break. Everybody keeps telling me the game tonight not going to be a blowout. But let me tell you what would be surprising. If the San Francisco 49ers beat the Rams. I'm not betting on that one. We'll talk about the Thursday night football matchup. I'll get to your calls. We got Brittany Giroli from The Athletic joining us to talk baseball. We got a lot to do. The JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.